Welcome to Alex and Annie, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
I'm Leslie.
And this is a very unique episode. Guys, if you're just listening on audio, I highly recommend going over to YouTube, because to understand the story behind Leslie and what's going on today, you have to see it in person. So Leslie and I are right now live in person in Myrtle Beach. We're sitting on my dock. It is Friday after 5. We're having ourselves a nice little glass of wine.
Cheers.
And cheersing to an amazing friendship that started over the dress that we're both wearing. We're both wearing the same dress. And that's how we met 3 years ago at VRMA San Antonio. Here's the thing with this dress. This is at minimum a 15-year-old dress. I bought it a long time ago. I've worn it on just about every vacation I've been on to Mexico, Caribbean. Everybody knows it's almost like a nightgown, but it's one of my favorites. So part of vacation rental conferences, most people aren't on vacation with me, so they've never seen it. Until I'm meet Leslie. She comes up to me and she says, I like your dress. I said, thanks. And she said, I have it. And I said, okay, so that means that you also know that this is a really, and she almost finished my sentence, it's a really old dress.
Like,
we ordered it from a catalog back in the day. I guarantee you did the same thing.
For sure.
Called a 1-800 number to get it. So anyway, so we've stayed in touch, and it turns out that she's just this amazing boss babe, vacation rental, like entrepreneur, just female like leader in Arizona. And what are the odds that she's in Scottsdale, which that's also where my company that I work for, Costco, is located. So all roads keep leading to Scottsdale these days. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and very blessed to be here. And thank you for allowing my son to come here too, because one of my goals is to take him to all 50 states by the time he graduates from college. And this is his 12th state as a six-year-old.
Love
it. So 12th state as a six-year-old, which is pretty cool. So
we've had a great trip so far. So Leslie's son is 8 years old, Lincoln?
Just turned six.
Okay. I'm not good with numbers. He's six. He is just an adorable kid and very smart. And this is a fun fall break for him to get to go with mom to South Carolina, probably a unique thing.
The aunties, the new aunties and uncles out there.
Yeah, exactly. So for our audience that does not know about you, can you please share a little bit about how you got into vacation rentals and where you're at now? Because this is a very interesting story beyond the colors and the hair and everything else and things we have in common.
Loud personality to match our dresses.
Yes, yes. all those things. You have an incredible story about building a huge business and selling a huge business just within the last 8 months. So let's hear a little bit about how it all got started.
Sure. So got to go to the University of Texas in Austin, and had a crazy internship in college, which leads me to Arizona, where I sold educational books door to door for the Southwestern Company, broke a couple records, and made a lot of money in the summer to where it was the same starting as what everybody was making as their starting salary for a year.
Wow.
We were making in like 3 months. So a lot of us decided to travel the country and the world for a year. And during my travels, I got to go to Thailand, which is still my favorite country I've ever been to. And in Thailand, met an Arizona boy. And so in Arizona, when I came back, I started interviewing in Arizona and Texas.
Okay.
And my best job offer was in Sedona, Arizona.
Okay.
So I moved out there for a guy and a job. The guy did not work out, but the job did. So I moved, and I worked for Diamond Resorts for probably about 8-9 years. Did take a little sabbatical to go sell insurance.
Really?
Cancer insurance.
Oh my gosh.
And, realized through that experience of like, how blessed that we get to be in our industry now, and how blessed I was in the timeshare industry to get to encourage and promote people to spend quality time with the people that they love the most, family, friends, and everything. And at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of us, and I have forgotten, like when things get really stressful, at the end of the day, what we're doing is creating experiences for incredible memories that people are going to talk about till they die.
It's so true. It's so true. And was just talking to Annie about this today on an episode that we recorded earlier with Marcus Rader from Hostaway, that at the end of the day, we're all doing different parts of this business, whether you're in the tech side of it, whether you're the operator, whether you're in marketing. Yep. But at the end of the day, at the end of what we're all doing, our families, that they're being very impacted by the decisions that we all make. And it's like, it's really easy to get disconnected from that. I know when I was at Condo World, I would on Saturdays and like on different check-in days, it would be fun to be down in the lobby. And like, this is when guests checked in with us. And just to see who these people were that were responding to all the millions of dollars in advertising that we spent. It's like, it's almost a little bit surreal. Sometimes I'm like, wow, like that person, like that, you just, you feel like they're just numbers to a large extent. And then when you actually see them in person, you see the memories they create when they submit user generated content, all these different things that we did, that like really brings it to life.
Sure.
I think. And
absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot behind it. Yep. So the company that you formed in Scottsdale, how many units did you have?
So we'll start with zero. So, started with my own house.
Okay.
A little, cause you asked about how I got into the industry and whatever. Yeah. The second time I went to Thailand, that's actually how I accidentally started the business. Ready for this?
Okay.
Kind of crazy. Okay. So second time I'm going to Thailand, right before I left, my good friend in Austin that I was traveling with said, oh, I'm renting out my condo in this like newer site called Airbnb. Have you ever heard of it before? And I'm like,
what's 2014?
This is 14. Yeah.
2014.
Okay. So I had not heard of Airbnb before. It's like I had heard of it, but didn't understand it.
Right.
And they had just come to Arizona. They had just come to the Arizona market. And so I took some pictures of my house and in the heart of Old Town Scottsdale, and I threw it up on Airbnb, my first listing, not knowing anything about pricing, anything about pictures, anything about marketing.
Yeah.
But I did have a lot of connections.
Yeah.
And so I just set random prices, and then I just kept on increasing prices while I'm traveling in Thailand. And I was making more money traveling in Thailand for 2.5 months than I was working at my $250 a year job back in Scottsdale, like from a monthly basis. And I'm like, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, exactly. How do I get more of these properties?
I just happened to get on the ground up accidentally because my house was the 20th listing in Scottsdale ever on Airbnb.
So that's super
crazy. There are 6,000 of them to like put things in perspective.
Okay? Yes, that you definitely got in very early on that. And it's interesting too, because it's like, you know, when you look back on how much the industry has changed, and the industry has changed a lot. And I think that is the epitome of the example of, you could have tried to do that on your own by putting it maybe on Craigslist or going to a long-term rental office or a real estate office and try to get bookings. But like, for you to do it on your own, there was no way to ever do that until Airbnb came out. And so obviously we all know this has changed the industry, and that's why things look very different than they do now.
Yeah.
But so you had that property, and then did you acquire properties, or what does the business look like?
Yeah. So, and then I accidentally did not delist my property when I got home. Mm-hmm. And back then that we didn't have instant books. So I got an inquiry for a weekend that I was in town and I was working and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so very sorry, Mike, let's just call him. I have no idea what the guy was name was. We'll just call him Mike. I'm actually in town this weekend. I meant to unlist my property. I'm back from vacation, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, I went to Thailand, and could I just make an offer on the weekend? I'm like, all of my friends are in New York City this weekend. And so to fly there would be $1,500 last minute, and to get a hotel, it's going to be another $5.
Yep.
So in my mind, I had this, like, if it's this number, I'm just going to say yes. And I'm going to go on vacation. Right. It's my vacation number. Right? That's why I did pricing in the beginning. It's like, ooh, what fun thing is going on this weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he paid almost exactly what it was going to go to cost to go to New York. And so I became at that point in time, a professional nomad.
Wow.
And I was pushing prices.
Yeah.
On the weekends that I was in town, I was pushing prices. Now they call that last man standing. So for everybody in the industry, I was just pushing pricing because of my lifestyle at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And a couple months in, my parents, my dad does private wealth management, and both my parents are super duper smart. And they're like, you're making how much money doing this? Like, this is just stupid.
Like, this doesn't seem like a
stupid
sustainable
returns, right? And we created the first pro forma that we actually still use to this day, that's been tweaked over time.
Wow.
And he's like, let's spreadsheet this. He's like, this is 44% returns. Like, that's stupid. Obviously it's not that anymore. Yeah. But at the time, like you could buy houses for $250,000 in Scottsdale, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, well, what if we bought a couple of houses? Let's see if there's a business model. So truly, the main dedication for what it is today was because my parents just said, hey, I believe in you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's
and,
incredible. I love that.
A testament to parents too. And what I'm trying to do with Lincoln is like, hey, how can we just promote you to do something that's extraordinary?
Yeah.
And also, it was a cool side benefit because they were making killer returns in the beginning.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. It makes a world of sense.
Yep. But it wasn't until we got to 5 properties, because I was still selling timeshares, right? So I was selling timeshares, got up to 5 properties. And for everybody who knows about 5 properties, becomes a full-time job if you're doing it
on your own.
On your own and legit. And we had created a full service concierge company because I come from the hospitality industry.
Okay.
So I'm doing full service concierge, having that little twist that I thought Airbnb was lacking in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, like, I actually interviewed 2 property managers And I said, I can do it better.
Mm-hmm. And that's what most of us do, right? Really, I mean, I've heard that story so many times that it's like,
yeah,
if you're in the biz and you go and interview with another company to try and do what you know how to do, it's one, I recommend doing it because it's very interesting and you'll learn a lot, but you'll also see, like, it's so quick to be the first one to be like, oh God, no, you're not doing this right. Like, hold on. Like, and you become a micromanager, right? So it's a tough spot to be in.
I did the calculation of, okay, to replace my $250 a year job selling timeshares, I have to get to 25 properties.
Yeah.
Not really understanding, you know, like startup costs and stuff like that. Cause I actually lost money my first year. So it wasn't as I got to 35 properties my first year. So like yay for sales.
Yeah.
And, but realized 35 properties in one in the first year and, but still lost money because of startup costs.
Yeah.
Well, and lessons in business, right?
It's an important thing to think about. And I think a lot of, you know, people that are in that position, we have a lot of them that listen to the show that they are between 5 and 10, 15, 20 properties. They want to be 30, 40, 50.
Yep.
But as you scale, I mean, like there's different breakpoints when you're going to need to bring more people into high, when your software costs, when your everything that your P&L is like outlining is going to keep going up, right?
Yeah.
And people, I mean, at the end of the day, people, people, marketing and technology are going to always be your most expensive parts. But sometimes things can be streamlined so that you can make those more efficient. But at the same time, this is a local business. We all know that.
Yep.
And I think one thing that you did really well was you always stayed hyper local to that area and became very well known as the best company in that market for the niche that you were filling.
Yep.
So,
and at first we were the Platinum Experience. We were not Rebel Rentals.
Okay.
So we were the Platinum Experience.
Okay.
And several things happen in life that caused us to be
rebels?
To be rebels and to rebrand two times. Very expensive lessons to learn in business. Maybe that's a session for another podcast another time.
I can't believe nobody had the name Rebel Rentals. I mean, that's also a really cool name.
That's a cool name, right?
Yeah.
Super cool.
That's, I mean, Platinum's nice too, but
after the fifth call a year that you get of like, so what kind of Platinum Experiences are you promoting? And we're like, well, I mean, we're not a brothel. So, wrong number.
Right.
Ask friends and family about your brand. If you're going to do a brand or rebrand, like, hey, what's the feedback of like what other people may think that your business is?
Just Rebel. I mean, Rebel means, I mean, little trouble and stuff. Rebel. Yeah, rising. Uh-huh. So like, what kind
we do things differently.
What was it that was rebellious?
I would just say that we do things differently, right? Just the level of service that started with, again, the heart of concierge from the very get-go of like, when you book with us, you're going to get something different. It's not just going to be a code when you check in. Mm-hmm. We're going to offer, not everyone takes it, obviously, but we're just going to say like, hey, we have all these connections to bars and restaurants. Mm-hmm. At one time we sold Platinum Perks cards.
Yep.
So bars and restaurants would just give us discounts and we'd sell them for $10. So it was just straight money.
And it's really, what does that come down to? Relationships, right? Like
relationships,
you had all those relationships
yep.
with those restaurants, with those bars, attractions. Yep. And I see that all the time in our market, that there are a lot of companies, not just here in any area, that you get so like into the business and working in the business, not on the business, that you forget about these other different streams of revenue. I think there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. There's a lot of way to make additional revenue streams in this business.
Yep.
And a lot of it comes down to being a local public figure, knowing people, making connections, working those connections, figuring out how you can make business easier for those restaurants, bars. I mean, they depend on tourism businesses to bring patrons into their businesses.
I think somebody at Burma said that like when on average, when there's a group of like 10, because it's always a conundrum with the city, of like, oh, these big party groups and whatever. Well, the party groups are the ones that are spending stupid money, right?
That
something like groups spend, take out accommodations, something like $5,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Out and about in town in a weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like $5,000 times we had 137 properties. Yeah. You do that just on a weekend basis of what we're promoting for our cities and our towns and whatever. It's like,
it's a lot.
Holy cow, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's incredible.
So you grew it to 137 properties since 2014. Mm-hmm. And when you and I reconnected, I believe in March in Kansas City at that BRMA, we were not wearing these dresses because it was very cold there. But at that point, you still owned the business. And it was about a month later that you texted me. And I think I asked if you were going to Reno for the next conference. And you're like, no, I sold the business. I almost stopped the car. I was like, oh my gosh, what in the world? I had no idea. So tell us about that and that decision.
Yeah. So I actually ended up going to Kansas City mostly because Jacoby said, the players are going to be here. Leslie, you need to figure it out. You need to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so most people probably did not notice, except for those who understood. But I had lots of meetings with Jacoby and David Olin, who are absolutely incredible.
Oh,
C2D
yeah.
advisors, if you're ever looking at selling your company, I highly, highly recommend that. There's another, the Weatherbys are great too. I just made the decision on them and they've been incredible, incredible throughout this process.
Yeah.
So anyway, small little plug for them because they deserve it more than what they were paid, in my opinion.
Well, transitioning out of a business is a big decision, no matter whether you're a small property manager or large, however long you've been in it, there's a lot of things that go into it. And, you know, Simon Lehman, who's been on our show many times, always talks about, like, there's a lot of companies don't. Yes, of course. We love Simon.
I paid for consulting with him, which is one of the ones that I would say he was there when I was doing the rebranding, in fact.
Okay.
He was part of that whole process.
Yeah. He's been in the biz for a long time. Knows a
always
lot,
get a coach.
A lot of things.
Get a coach.
Get a coach.
Get a coach. Get a coach.
Get a coach.
I got Tony Robbins
be coachable.
In the beginning and be coachable.
Yeah,
exactly.
Coachable.
And man, I wish I would have gone to conferences way earlier in the game.
Yeah.
I remember saying, I think I told you this last night. I remember saying, like, how do people have time to go to conferences as I'm working 90 hours a week?
Right. Well,
having no technology, like an idiot.
Right.
Because I didn't know that it existed.
Doing things
manually.
I mean, literally, there are so many people out there that are still doing that. I mean,
I know.
It's been eye-opening to me to
go to VRMA.
Yeah.
Go to VRMA. Go to VRMA.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have five properties. If you're thinking about going to 35K, because you may talk yourself out of it, but meet a really cool property manager. They're like, hey, you have the same core values that I do. How about I just come and work for you?
Exactly.
Right.
I mean,
that was an option back in the day.
So that's actually that's a good point. And just to close the loop on the acquisition side, I think this is one thing. If you are interested in selling your business or even thinking about it in the next 5 to 10 years, it's worth setting up an appointment with one of these financial advisors when you are at VRMA or at the conferences or just a phone call, because the things that they will tell you are going to help you in the long run, that maybe you don't need them right away, but the way that you structure things, and I've seen things go really south and be completely chaotic when deals are on the line, that there's an opportunity to buy a company and everybody's scrambling and both sides aren't sure if they're making the right decision because the finances are all over the place. It's better to have your financial house in order, and you're going to be set up, because you also, not to be like dire, but you never know what's going to happen in life too. And if something were to happen to you, your family, or whoever's operating the business, you need to have it set up to protect the legacy that you've built. No matter how long you've been in it, you've built something that means a lot to the people that are part of it. Your homeowners, your guests, your staff, your family. So here's another question. You decided to sell the business, but are you allowed to disclose who you sold it to? And if not, that's okay.
No,
but
I totally can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was actually, it was Simon Lehman is the person that was the one who gave me a call about a year and a half ago. Because I sold to a company called Advanced Lodging. Most people know them as Meredith Lodging. They operate under both, and a fantastic company. And they've bought, I think, 20 companies, but sometimes they keep the brand and sometimes they don't. And ours, they kept the brand. They kept my people, which is awesome.
That's
very rare.
That's
very, very rare. But they've kept about 90% of my staff now, and we're 5 months in and they still have kept them, which is pretty darn cool. So that was one of the things that was a heart decision. That made sense because they can say everything that they want. There's another company that I was in escrow with that fell through. And they said they were going to keep everyone. It was very close to when the APA was coming that I found out very quickly they were going to be firing everybody that I had. And it was, I felt stuck, right? I felt like, I felt this like pain in my gut of like, God, these are my people, you know? Like,
yeah, they built this with you.
They've been right alongside with me, right? So. Man, ask a lot of those kinds of questions if you are looking at the sales. And some of you won't care, right? Like if someone's going to pay $2 million more than another company and they're not keeping your people,
right?
I mean, give them
an exit bonus. there's no one size fits all way to answer the right way to do it. You as a business owner will know. If you've been in a business for many, many years and you sell, there's probably more of a connection to you want to make sure that you're right by your people. And sometimes that means a very nice exit check, and sometimes it means continuity of the job that they've been doing.
But sometimes it works out to both.
Sometimes it's both. Exactly.
Almost.
I've recently talked to businesses, one in the Smoky Mountains this week that was bought by a private equity company, and they have really done it well from what I can see. That basically they've come in and they've done the economies of scale, the resources, but they've left everything in place, but they're able to negotiate on that company's behalf to a much larger extent than the company would be on their own, because they have a other companies in other markets. Mm-hmm. So I think there's ways to do it. And obviously you got a nice exit being out of that. And, mm-hmm. but it's also, I'm sure it's a little bit like, it's gotta be like, you gotta be emotionally strong. And, but no matter what, it's still going to shake you at your core and be a sad thing. Cause I mean, it's closing the door on something that you put your heart and soul into. If you're working 90 hours a week, you obviously care about this. So what was that transition like from internal Leslie standpoint? Like, mm-hmm. how did you deal yeah. with it?
I would say that I'm still in that. Yeah. And I would say up and down of yeah. a hurricane of emotions yeah. is the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. And it's been a whirlwind of excitement to, did I make the right decision? To yeah. thank goodness. Cause I mean, the biggest thing that I keep coming home to is that I made the right decision is I basically right now I'm on sabbatical. Welcome to my sabbatical life.
Love it.
My baby before my baby was this business, yeah, right? Lincoln yeah. Six. Business is nine when I 9 years old when I sold it. So yeah. all Lincoln knew. I mean, I had a 1 week, you can call it a maternity leave. I've been married to this job and this business
yeah,
for a long and my time. People yeah. for a very long time.
Yeah.
And to get to spend the quality time that Lincoln's never gotten to see,
yeah.
that makes it all worth it. And the hurricane of emotions, yeah. the ups and downs and the everything, worth it. I'm basically like a stay-at-home single mom, which is weird right now. It's, but like I'm the room mom and yeah. I get to be at school 2 days a week and it's super fun and get to be
that.
Here and I don't know.
It's a whole different phase of life though.
And, man.
And yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a
lot.
It's
the identity. It's that what I'm figuring out is when it's the, it's a, man, I'm recreating my identity.
Yep.
Like who is Leslie Saunier?
It's a
what
transition.
Am I going to create for the yep. world next?
Yeah.
And it's almost like right now there's so many options that there's yep. no options
yeah.
is where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about Burma because I'm excited to just be in the listening and with different ears. Not like, okay, what do we need to move, change, yeah. shift of like, what do I need to move, change and shift in me
yeah.
to figure out what's next, whether it's in the industry or not, to be honest
right.
with you. I
right.
mean, maybe it's taking these skills and bringing it to another
something
industry that
totally
needs
different.
A shining star and a shining light.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have
yeah.
no idea. So
you're in a really unique position. And I think you should be proud of yourself that you got to be in that position, I should
sure.
say,
because very grateful.
To be
very, very
as
grateful.
Successful as you were and to sell a business at the age that you did and now to be able to take some time, I definitely understand that of you're in a spot where it's like, it's a different identity than you used to associate yourself with. And
yep.
you feel sometimes like, who am I? Like I'm very similar. I've tied my identity to my career my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think it's a very good thing for the company you're working for.
Sure.
It can be a challenging thing for you personally when things
Absolutely.
Change. But ultimately, you know, your life's work is where you're spending your time, whether it's with your family
yeah.
or whether it is the production of the work you're doing, and being fulfilled is really important. I know you're going to do amazing things, whatever you decide to do. But in the meantime, I think Lincoln is very lucky to have his mom
yeah.
too. And that's a big thing.
It
that's
is
a big thing.
And it's being able to see the difference or the juxtaposition. What a great word. SAT word of the
juxtaposition.
Day. Juxtaposition.
I've always
winning
loved
SAT
that
word of the way today so far.
Spell it.
Beat that.
Can you spell it?
Let's talk about, hiring and firing. being able to see the like, okay, this was Leslie work mom on my phone all the time. It took
yeah.
me a month and a half just not
yeah.
be looking at my phone all the time because
yeah.
it was a habit.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
a habit. Like
yeah.
what fire am I going to be putting out
yeah.
next? Because that's what I ended towards the end of the business. That's what I was. I had
yeah.
a staff that took care of most everything except when there was a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just always constantly like, okay, what's the next fire I need to put out? What's the next fire I need to put out?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so whatever is next, the boundary that I know that I'm going to take is having normal hours, not a 24/7 business,
yeah.
for instance.
In a growth trajectory, I feel like, I mean, you were growing all those years, but you got into a situation where I feel like many business owners in this industry get
yep.
into your, or somebody that's leading the company where you're putting out all the fires and that is draining. Like
yep.
you're not seeing the happy
life
people.
Life sucking.
Yeah. You're not seeing the happy people that
yeah.
are making these magical memories because
yeah.
those people don't bubble up to you. And
yep.
I think that can be, there's a lot of people in our industry that do not take their own vacation and that they don't take their own mental health and personal health seriously enough, because if you do this all week long, it's very exhausting and
mm-hmm.
it takes a toll on yourself and your family. But I think in the role that you're going to find, the next one is you've got to find that next role that it's like you're part of the growth and the fun stuff.
Sure.
And eventually you'll be the one that's
yeah.
putting out the fires. It's a cycle, right?
Yep.
And like we talked about this
yeah.
since you've been here visiting, like life has transitions and different periods on things you're supposed to learn, people you're supposed to meet.
Absolutely.
And whether for better or worse in your mind at the time,
mm-hmm.
it's all happening for a reason.
Absolutely.
And I'm very excited to see your journey as you continue to grow here.
Yeah.
Leslie, it has been a pleasure. We still have a couple more days of you hanging out here, and we're just so excited to have you here with us, my husband and I, and you and Lincoln. So
absolutely. Thank you. Thank
everyone,
you.
Everyone, you will be at VRMA. What is the best way for somebody to reach out to you if they want to connect outside of this?
I'm going to laugh and say this just for my former staff. Yeah, just email me, because I sucked at email back in the day also. yeah, just email me. That's just horrible. Mm. Don't email me. I will not email you back. I'm just being very, very clear. Unless you text me and say, hey, sent you an email, because I'm horrible at it. It's just never been my gift.
Okay,
so
okay.
I did make it though. I did make it my nickname in college, because in college when I went out to every time I had a high side pony.
Yeah.
So everyone called me Side Pony Leslie. So my email is sideponyleslie.com. So if you want to send me something funny, but then text me like, hey, I sent you something funny, you can.
Perfect.
Meet me at VRMA. Yeah. I would just say, if it's something that you have an idea, ooh, this could be good, because I'm in the listening for what's next.
Yep.
And
yep.
Two of the best ideas so far that I've gathered are from someone else saying, you know what you'd be really good at?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that's,
you know what you'd be really good at? Because sometimes it's hard to see it when you're like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And right? You don't know what you don't know. And you're just seeing like, this is what I know that I know. But other people see,
they're like, no, you're all these other things you didn't even
what
know.
What about that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, didn't even think about that. Right?
And that's the power of networking and being at these events, being live with people and letting other people see inside the window and your curtain of like that you have blinders on, really.
Sure.
You
know? Sure, sure, sure.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This has been a fun episode. Obviously, Annie is not here because she is in Panama City Beach and not in Myrtle Beach. This was a unique one, but we will all catch up with Annie in VRMA in Orlando in just about a week from now. So thank you for tuning in. And until next time, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com if you want to reach out to us. And thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you.
Cheers.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye, y'all.